Hello, book friends and music lovers. You are tuned into Book Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. We've got an interesting show for you today. We've got part Book Choice Publisher's Choice and part Book Choice Regular Book Choice. I'll tell you why. In today's show, we welcome three of South Africa's top publishers. We've got Penguin Random House, we've got Pan Macmillan South Africa, and we've got Jonathan Ball Publishers. These are three of the publishers that we regularly have on the show, coming on the show to tell us what they've got coming out for the months of November and into December. They're going to tell us what they're publishing, what they're reading, what people are buying, what bookshops are selling, and what everybody's talking about. On the back of that, we've also got two regular reviews that come out of our regular show. We're joined by Vanessa Levenstein, who's talking about a book called A Library to Flee. And we're also talking to Melvin Minar, and he's reviewing a book called Hrutbos Florilegium. Forgive me, I'm not a floral scientist. I tried to get it right, but we'll see. Let's hear how Melvin says it later on in the show. And all of these segments and reviews are going to be bookended by some incredible fine music, because after all, this is Fine Music Radio. So without any further ado, let's get the show going. I think we should start with a track, and we're going to start with a track by Track 5. It's called Does Anyone Really Know What Time It Is? I know what time it is. It's Book Choice time. Welcome back. As I said, you're tuned into Book Choice, a mix of Publisher's Choice and Regular Book Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. And the show is sponsored by our very best booksellers, Exclusive Books. As I mentioned, first up on the show, we've got one of South Africa's top publishers, Pan Macmillan. And in fact, Pan Macmillan is one of the world's top publishers as well. So not only do they operate in South Africa, but you'll recognize them and all their imprints from all over the world. Welcome to the show, Pan Macmillan. I'm very much looking forward to hearing what you've got to share with us today.
Hi everyone, Shakti back here from Pan Macmillan. And can we all just take a collective breath? Because how are we already halfway through November? Can you hear that? The faint jingle of Christmas bells, the clink clank of Christmas baubles unboxed from their hiding places, and our brains working overtime to see the end of the year through. No one does festive like South Africa. Just ask all the tourists. Speaking of festive, we at Pan Macmillan are ecstatic to release the newest installment from best-selling author John von Neurath. Oh, sorry. I mean over 500,000 copies, best-selling author John von Neurath. Spud the Reunion comes 12 years after the last Spud book, Exit Pursued by a Bear. And to say that this Christmas nostalgia is served is an understatement. It is 2003, 10 years since Spud Milton's class of 93 matriculated, and the boys went their separate ways. Despite their seemingly unbreakable bond, the Crazy Eight, Rambo, Mad Dog, Vern, Fatty, Garth Garlick, Boggo, Simon, and Spud have not kept in touch. Or at least, not as far as Spud knows. When he receives an invitation from the school to attend their 10-year reunion weekend, Spud is determined to avoid the event at all costs. But he hasn't reckoned with the bombardment of intrusive messages and threatening phone calls from his former doormates. No one is going to bend his arm. Not this time. He is immune to peer pressure and wise to Rambo's devious manipulation techniques. Spud has moved on, and anyway, he has enough to worry about on the home front. At 28, Spud is stuck in a one-third life crisis, reflecting on a decade of spectacular non-achievement at a point where he's coming to realize that his glittering stage career might have stalled before it's even begun, casts him into deep gloom. For the former scholarship kid, the prospect of once again having to measure up to his blue-blooded school friends and be found wanting has him riddled with anxiety. Not only that, Spud still doesn't have a serious girlfriend, which has seen him resort to a questionable international boss sexting relationship with an old flame. Not to mention that circumstance have forced him to move back in with his parents and his senile grandmother, Wombat, whose walks never end where they began. After a wildly unsuccessful fishing trip with his father, as well as a return to his old way of figuring things out, writing in his diary, to his own surprise, Spud finds his reunion and resistance crumbling. Curiosity and courage win the day. It's just a weekend, after all. What could possibly go wrong? Here is John van der Rijt in his own words.
Hello, I'm John van der Rijt, the author of the Spud series. Out now is a new Spud, Spud the Reunion. 10 years into the character's future, the time is 2003, and Spud and the Crazy Eight are reuniting for their 10-year reunion. It is a fabulous book, it's funny, it's going to be great, and it continues the Spud series into the future. Spud the Reunion is now available at all good bookstores nationwide and online.
If you're in Cape Town and near the V&A waterfront area, please come and support John van der Rijt's launch of Spud the Reunion. He'll be in conversation with Rob van Vieren at the V&A Waterfront on Wednesday, the 20th of November, 6 for 6:30. Bring along the Spud series, come and meet John van der Rijt and get your copy signed. If you're wondering what to get the little ones or those young at heart, then look no further, for no Christmas stocking is safe. We have the perfect heartwarming tale for reading time. Into the Uncut Grass. From Trevor Noah, South Africa's very own and the author of the number one best-selling memoir, Born a Crime, comes a gorgeously illustrated fable about a young child's journey into the world beyond the shadow of home, a magical landscape where he discovers the secrets of solidarity, connection, and finding peace with the people we love. This is the story of two friends, a boy and a bear, and what happens when, tired of chores and being told what to do, they decide to run away. What will we find in the uncut grass? Well, it depends on what you're looking for. Across one incredible day spent debating gnomes, racing snails, and wrestling with leaf monsters, boy and bear discover the courage to face the unknown, the joys of listening better, and why the best adventures should always take you back home. Infused with Trevor Noah's signature wit and imagination, and in collaboration with visionary artist Sabina Hahn, this is a tale for readers of all ages, to be read aloud or read alone. This is what Trevor Noah had to say about his debut children's book, Into the Uncut Grass. This book was born in the quieter moments of my childhood, the ones in which my body was still, but my mind and imagination were in beautiful motion. Because decades before I stepped onto an airplane or a ship as an adult, I had already traveled the world. We at Pan Macmillan know that holiday shopping and prioritizing Christmas lunch or dinner can sometimes be a handful, especially when you're catering to a host of palates. What do you have planned for your festive table this year? Thinking of sprucing up dessert or making a different side dish? Well, Nagi Mayahashi has you covered. Recipe Tin Eats Tonight includes more than 150 brand new foolproof flavor-packed recipes. How's that for a tongue twister? Every recipe has a stunning photo and link to a how-to video. It is hearty, accessible, and of course, Nagi sous chef Doza, her gorgeous golden retriever, delivers the final seal of approval. Here's a fun fact for you. Nagi has a huge following on social media, with over 1.4 million followers. Recipe Tin Eats Tonight sold over 77,000 copies in the first week of release in Australia, breaking all records for a nonfiction release. It's that good. But don't take my word for it. Buy the book, cook the recipes, and find out for yourself. Why? Well, your taste buds will thank you. We have shelves of recommended and brand new holiday reads to discuss, from the new David Baldacci thriller To Die For, or the tear-jerking addition to the Before the Coffee Gets Cold series, Before We Forget Kindness, or the generational pleaser From Here to the Great Unknown by Lisa Marie Presley and Riley Keogh. Whether you're compiling your wish list or gifting a loved one, there's a book for everyone to curl up with this Christmas. Keep a firm eye on the Pan Macmillan social media pages for more updates about events, new releases, and what's trending. Until next time, happy reading from the Pan Macmillan team, and wishing you and your family a safe and restful festive season.
Whoa, Shakti Pillay, way to start the show with two massive books. All your books are massive, but these are really big ones. Shakti Pillay is a top publicist at Pan Macmillan, and she was just telling us about Spud the Reunion. Don't you remember when Spud first came out? These books were such massive bestsellers, they couldn't print them fast enough. This is one of the biggest selling titles I think South Africa has ever seen, potentially, or definitely in the top handful of them. And now he's bringing out the sequel, much awaited, I think, after a decade or so. This book is going to be steeped in nostalgia for the people who really enjoyed the series before. I think it's going to be a very big seller. I think it's going to be a great gift for your brother, your uncle, your father-in-law, anyone who enjoyed the Spud books when they first came out. And just a special note that that launch on the 20th of November at the V&A Waterfront at 6 for 6:30, John van der Rijt's going to be in conversation with Rob van Vuren. Essentially, they're both very funny actors, and I think that will be a show. I think that launch is worth going to. They're going to put on a really spectacular hour or so of entertainment, and I would recommend that if you're in the area and you like this kind of thing, I think you'll enjoy it. And then Shakti brought us the new one by Trevor Noah. It also doesn't get bigger than this, Into the Uncut Grass by Trevor Noah. I run this book club on Facebook. It's called the Good Book Appreciation Society. And so often people are on there and they're saying, I'm going on a road trip with my family, or I'd like to buy a book that's multi-generational, or I'd like to read a book out loud to my kids. I like to read all the time. What are your recommendations? And Trevor Noah's memoir, Born a Crime, is always on the top of the list of recommendations. And now I do think that this Into the Uncut Grass is going to become a classic almost immediately. And like the Spud launch, I wonder if Trevor Noah will be doing launches around the country. I would love to go to a Trevor Noah book launch. I'm sure it would be a little bit like going to a stand-up comedy show. So I'm going to keep my eye on the Pan Macmillan social media accounts to see if they're announcing any Trevor Noah book launches. I think that would be amazing. Thank you so much, Shakti Pillay. So how about some music before we get into our next segment? This is the Soweto String Quartet with Blue Fountain. Thank you. Welcome back. You're tuned into Book Choice, half Publisher's Choice, half regular Book Choice, with me, your host, Paige Nick, on Fine Music Radio, and that was Soweto String Quartet with Blue Fountain. We're welcoming our very next publisher onto the show now. We've got Viz Chetty coming along, and he's going to tell us what Penguin Random House have got coming out for November and December. Penguin Random House, again, another one of South Africa's biggest publishing houses. Of course, they're also globally recognized. You'll find Penguin Random House in every country in the world, and you'll recognize their orange covers and their beautiful little orange penguin logo. These guys bring out some of the biggest titles globally. So welcome to the show, Viz. What have you got?
Hi, Paige, and hello to all the FMR listeners. This is Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House, coming to you with the publisher's choice for the month of November and a bit of December as well. These are some of the best ones that we have out in the market or just about to come out, and I think you'd find some great interest in them. I'm going to start off this week with some nonfiction. We have really, really big local publication that just came out a few days ago, and it is Matthew Sporza's autobiography, a political memoir, which is out in stores now. Now, Matthews has been in and around our political system from the very beginning. I mean, he was one of those politicians that was there during the years in exile that he spent 5 years away from his family and comes back. And then he was integral in the building of the new democracy of South Africa. And even thereafter, he was the treasurer during the Zuma administration. So this book has all that information, everything that he had lived through, everything that he had was involved with. I mean, he was there when the Gupta scandal broke, and he was in the back rooms and all the discussions that were happening there, the fall of SAA, Nhlanhla Nene's dismissal as the financial minister. It was a lot of very big events that he was witness to. And in this book, he discusses all of it. So the fallouts between the different presidents, his role, his fallout with some of them himself, it's all in this book. So Witness to Power is out right now. You'll find it anywhere from online to in your local stores. It's one of our biggest local publications of the year. It's a wonderful read. It really is. When you read it, you really get a good sense of a man who's connected to the political system and someone who has a real honest and integral part in it. So it's a really enjoyable read, Witness to Power by Matthew Sporza, written by Peter Rutman as well, and that's out right now. Right, the next one is a fiction book by Elizabeth Stroud. If you are a fan, this is number 5 in the series of the Amgash series, number 5. She's a political prize-winning author, and she's out here with her new book. Now, you probably have read Elizabeth Stroud at some stage. She always delivers book after book after book. She's just incredible. So the story is with her remarkable insight into the human condition, and she just returns in this book to the town of Crosby, Maine, to her beloved cast of characters, Lucy Barton, the big character, Olive Kitteridge, Bob Burgess, and a few more. So what they do with this, in this book, they deal with the shocking crime in the midst. They fall in love and yet also choose to be apart. And you grapple with the question, as Lucy puts it, what does anyone's life actually mean? It's autumn in Maine, and the town lawyer Bob Burgess has been enmeshed in an unfolding murder investigation, defending a lonely, isolated man accused of killing his mother. He has also fallen into a deep and abiding friendship with the acclaimed writer Lucy Barton, who lives down the road in a house by the sea with her ex-husband William. Together, Lucy and Bob go on walks and talk about their lives, their fears and regrets, and what might have been. Lucy, meanwhile, is finally introduced to the iconic Olive Kitteridge, now living in a retirement community on the edge of town. They spend afternoons together in Olive's apartment, telling each other stories about people they have known, unrecorded lives, Olive calls them, reanimating them, and in the process, imbuing their lives with meaning. This book is brims with empathy and pathos. Tell Me Everything is the name of this one by Elizabeth Stroud. It's a fantastic read. It's out now. So pick it up. If you haven't read anything in the series of these, you should actually read all of them. They're just such a wonderful book. The next one's a nonfiction book. Sort of straddles the line, actually, between fiction and nonfiction. You know, usually when these are written these myths and legends, the Greek myths. Stephen Fry has written a whole series of them. This is part of the Great Mythology series, number 4 in the book. If you're a fan of Stephen Fry, you would have come across the ones in the previous books in the series, which was Mythos was the first one, then Heroes, then Troy, and now Odyssey. This is the final book in the series. It's a retelling of the Greek myth, basically, and Stephen Fry is so good at that. If you haven't read any of the others, you're missing out. This is just fantastic. So this one follows Odysseus, obviously, after he leaves the fallen city of Troy and takes 10 long dramatic years battling monsters, the temptations of goddesses, and suffering the curse of Poseidon to voyage home to his wife Penelope on the island of Ithaca. It's the classic hero's journey story, which has inspired countless other books and stories as well. So hearing Stephen Fry do this book in his voice is just magnificent and written really well. So that book is called Odyssey. It's by Stephen Fry. Right. The next one is part of a new sort of series that has, you know, we in the business in at Penguin call it healing fiction or self-healing fiction rather. And it's a little tiny book. This book was a bestseller in Korea. It's called The Marigold Mind Laundry, and the author's name is Jung Yun Yun. I'm butchering that name. And she has had huge success with this book in her home country, but now for the first time it's been translated. If you like books like The Traveling Cat Chronicles, for example, this would be something that you might enjoy. So in this enchanting tale, a blockbuster bestseller in Korea, the enigmatic owner of a magical laundromat that erases people's painful memories must learn to find her own peace before she can truly help others. She's born with mysterious powers that she does not know how to control. Young Jun accidentally causes her family to vanish. She vows to live a million lives in search of them. Finally, one night, she brings the Marigold Mind Laundry into existence. Its service to remove the deepest pain from our hearts. Jun listens well while customers share their unhappy memories. As they speak, she transfers their sadness onto t-shirts as stains. After a spin in the washing machine, the stains become flower petals that soar into the air, and Jun's customers find solace. 5 wounded souls come to Jun for help. A frustrated young filmmaker, a spiraling social media influencer, a mother betrayed by her husband, a woman jilted by her lover, and a talented photographer who hides in the safety of a mundane job. As Jun listens to each of the stories, she learns that the will to heal is not a rare gift, but a power we all possess, if only we are open to it. This is joyous and inspiring. The Marigold Mind Laundry offers wonderment and comfort as it teaches us to tap into the magic that lives within all of us. It's a fantastic little beautiful book. The next one is Character Limit by Kate Conger and Ryan Mack. These are journalists, rising star New York Times technology reporters, Kate Conger and Ryan Mack. For the first time, they tell the story of the full inside story of Elon Musk's unprecedented hostile takeover of Twitter and the $44 billion deal, seismic political, social, and financial fallout. The billionaire entrepreneur and Tesla CEO Elon Musk has become inextricable from the social media platform that until 2023 was known as Twitter. Starting in the mid-2000s as a playful microblogging platform, Twitter quickly became a vital nexus of global politics, culture, and media, where the retweet button could instantly catapult any idea to hundreds of millions of screens around the world, unleashing raw collective emotion like nothing else before. Now, while its founder has idealistically dreamed of building a digital town square, he detested Wall Street and never focused on building a profitable business. Then Musk comes along. He joins the platform in 2010, and by 2022 had become one of the site's most influential users, hooking over 80 million followers with a mix of provocations, promotion of his companies, and attacks on his enemies. To Musk, Twitter, once known for its almost absolute commitment to free speech, had badly lost its way, and that's when he decided he was going to buy them. This is the full inside story of that whole takeover and everything that followed. It's the defining story of our time, told with uncommon style and peerless rigor. In a world of viral ideas and emotion, who gets to control the narrative? Who gets to be heard? And the question is, what does power really cost? So that book is called Character Limit. It's by Kate Conger and Ryan Mack, and it's how Elon Musk destroyed Twitter. That's the strapline. That's pretty much it from me this week, or this month. I've got a lot more coming in the new year, obviously, and we'll talk about December reads on the next slot. But for now, that's all I have. Thank you so much for having me, and goodbye.
Thank you so much. That was Viz Chetty joining us from Penguin Random House, South Africa, and telling us about what they've got coming up on their shelves. I am very excited just about all of these titles. I mean, I can't have all of them. I'm never going to read all of this stuff. But the Matthew Sposa is Witness to Power. Sounds really interesting. The South African nonfiction. This is a powerhouse of a title. And I think this is going to be a big seller. I'm always interested in Stephen Fry with his new mythical books. So the other one that stood out to me there was his Odyssey. And you need kind of a summer holiday to read that. You need to set aside some brain space to read it because it's fascinating. I always find it's so many facts and it's so much to remember that I want to read it really slowly. A new Elizabeth Strout is huge. I can't believe it. That's really exciting. So I'm going to check that one out, guaranteed. I do love Elizabeth Strout. And then that Elon Musk takeover book as well, Character Limit, How Elon Musk Destroyed Twitter. I want to read that. He did destroy Twitter. What is X, Twitter? I don't know. Anyway, I'd be very curious about that. And I would be very curious to hear an interview with Elon Musk talking about how he feels about that book. I wonder how much say he had in it and whether it's words that he wanted them to write or whether this is independent. So I'm going to be Googling that right after this. In fact, I'm going to do it right now while this next track is playing. Coming Up by Julie Harris is Everything's Coming Up Roses. I'm not sure Elon Musk will feel the same way.
You'll be swell. You'll be great. Gonna have the whole world on a plate. Starting here, starting now. Honey, everything's coming up roses. Clear the decks. Tracks, you got nothing to do but relax, blow a kiss, take a bow, honey, everything's coming up roses. Now's your inning, stand the world on its ear, set it spinning, that'll be just the beginning. Well, you'll be great, I can tell, just you wait. That lucky star I talk about is you. Honey, everything's coming up roses for me and for you. You can do it, all you need is a hand. We can do it. Mama is gonna see to it. Curtain up, light the lights. We got nothing to hit but the heights. I can tell, wait and see. There's the bell, follow me. And nothing's gonna stop us till we're through. Santa Claus, everything's gonna be bright lights and lollipops. Everything's coming up roses for me and for you.
The Mzansi National Philharmonic Orchestra brings you Rhythms of Hope, a celebration of the magic of music and the power of unity. The program opens with the Shaka Ilembe Suite, then to Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, and after interval, Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov. The Cape Town concert is on the 4th of December at 7:30 p.m. at the Cape Town City Hall. Booking for Rhythms of Hope through Quicket.
As a community radio station, FMR wants to celebrate organizations that do extraordinary work in the community. Today, we say bravo to
Le Flika Lapo Diso. They offer online training to become a community art counselor. Learn how to apply analytic thinking and embrace the expressive potential of image making in this transformative course.
To find out more, visit fmr.co.za and click Say Bravo!
Welcome back. That was Everything's Coming Up Roses by Julie Harris. And you're tuned into Book Choice, half publisher's choice, half regular book choice, with me, your host, Paige Nick. You're tuned into Fine Music Radio, which is a very good place to be. And we're still talking books for about another half an hour or so with a little bit of fine music in between. We've already heard from Pam McMillan, who brought us the new Spud. They're also bringing us the new Trevor Noah. We heard from Penguin Random House, who have a huge list, and they've got some really fascinating November and December reads coming out. And next up, we're going to hear from the Jonathan Ball publishing team. I've always said this on the show, Jonathan Ball specializes in South African nonfiction, but they also import a ton of international titles, both fiction and nonfiction. So welcome to the show, to the Jonathan Ball team.
Hello, Paige, and thank you for that introduction. And hello to the listeners today. This is Mariam Adams here from Jonathan Ball Publishers, and I'm thrilled to be on the show today. With the festive season and the December holiday just around the corner, we are all starting to think of the different ways to spoil our friends, our family, our lovers. And so we have put together the ultimate book gift guide to make your life a little easier. Neil Gaiman once said that books make great gifts because they have the whole world inside of them. And it's much cheaper to buy somebody a book than it is to buy them the whole world. And on that note, let's explore what the world has to offer. Something I am personally very excited about is the latest work by beloved food writer Nigel Slater. It's beautiful, it's bespoke, and it's an exquisitely written collection of notes, memories, stories, and small moments of joy. In it, he shares an ode to the ordinary, from miso soup for breakfast, packing a suitcase for a trip, and watching a butterfly settle on a carpet, hiding in plain sight. He gives short stories of feasts such as mango eaten in monsoon rain, or a dish of restorative macaroni and cheese. This is a funny and sharply observed collection of the good bits of life, often the things that pass many of us by. Speaking of the bits of life, how often do you associate the books that you've read with specific stages in your life? Maybe it's the good, the bad, the challenges. Well, Molly Masters certainly does, and she's turned it into a book called Bibliotherapy. She has curated a collection filled with books to guide you through every chapter of life. Why, you may be thinking? Well, because many of us have been self-medicating with books for years without identifying the practice as therapy. She touches on everything under the sun, but in a section which I like, called First Loves and Great Loves, she shares the most apt book recommendations. Examples including the well-known Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller, Normal People by Sally Rooney, 7 Days in June by Tia Williams, and Alice Wynne's In Memoriam. Then, we have Florence Given, who returns with a funky, colourful, bright new book called Woman Living Deliciously. Yes, you heard that right. Woman Living Deliciously. And if you're already a fan, I'm glad to tell you that this new work does include some of her iconic artwork throughout. It is a book that wants us to fall in love with our lives. It will help women uncover the sense of awe and wonder that has always been buried by the layers of shame, perfectionism, and self-objectification that get piled onto us by the patriarchy. In the realm of fiction, which I know a lot of you listeners love, I want to flag that we have new books from some of our favorite authors. We've got John Grisham, Dion Meyer, Tracy Chevalier, and our recent South African visitor, Cecilia Ahern. On a more serious note, The Golden Road by William Dalrymple is a great gift for the history buffs. In it, he reinstates India as the great intellectual and philosophical superpower of ancient Asia, tracing the cultural flow of its religion, science, and mathematics. I've heard that, as always, his new book is on top form. Towards the end of the year, we are looking forward to publishing a phenomenal new art book that we hope will adorn many coffee tables. It showcases the life and the work of the one and only Esther Mahlangu. It's a celebration of her remarkable journey as a pioneer of contemporary African art, whose vibrant and distinctive paintings have captured the hearts of many worldwide. This book features a series of interviews with Mahlangu, and it will give readers insight into her creative process, her inspiration, and the cultural significance of her work. Now we move to cookbooks that I believe are arguably one of the best gifts to give your foodie friends. We don't give to get, but if you're lucky, the receiver of the book may show their appreciation with a home-cooked meal inspired by recipes in the book. So, you can't go wrong with Donna Hay's new cookbook called Too Easy. She is the master of taking your favorite go-to meals and simplifying them with a few simple shortcuts. The spotlight cookbook for the rest of the year is The Contemporary African Kitchen. This is a curated collection of 120 home cooking recipes from some of the most exciting culinary voices of Africa today. Each recipe has a head note from the contributing chef, exploring their personal connections to the dish, and it features three prominent South African chefs. Then we have Couple Cooks by Sonia and Alex Overheiser, and they have put together 100 recipes to cook together. It explores the practice of cooking as a couple, creating something in tandem, and as a result, feeling closer and also spending quality time together. Locally, we do have an air fryer book by the one and only Herman Lessing, and this is available in both English and Afrikaans. And I've got a challenge for you. If you can tell me what air fryer is in Afrikaans, I'll send you a copy of the book. So you can send that answer off to Mariam, spelled M-A-R-Y-A-M, at jbp.co.za. That's all from me for now. Goodbye and happy gifting.
Thank you so much, Mariam Adams. That was Mariam Adams from Jonathan Ball Publishers with their ultimate book gift guide for the festive season. I love that. I'm very excited by bibliotherapy, which is books that guide you through every chapter of your life. I love books about books. I can't get enough of them. I really like the idea of this. A book that's about lists of books. I mean, it's very meta. And then the Nigel Slater sounded incredibly interesting to me. It sounds like a cookbook that's also got a lot of storytelling and art in it. And then, of course, the Esther Mahlangu, that's going to be an incredible release. I recently went to go see the Esther Mahlangu exhibition at the National Gallery in Cape Town, and it was just wonderful. I hope you got to see it. If you didn't get to see it, and if you did get to see it, I would imagine this book will be the perfect partner to that exhibition and to finding out more about Esther Mahlangu. She has these incredible stories. I didn't know a lot of them, and they were wonderful to discover them at the exhibition. And then the giveaway. Who doesn't want to win a copy of this book? What is an air fryer in Afrikaans? Mariam, I have no idea. So that's exciting, and good luck. If you know what an air fryer is in Afrikaans, let us know. Email Mariam, and you could win a copy of a book. Right, before we head into the final segment of our show, which is our book choice part of the show, it isn't publisher's choice, this is book choice to regular reviewers, bring us their regular reviews. We got another track. This is Kwando Kwando by who? Nosavida.
Thank you. be mine. Tell me quando, quando, quando we can share a love divine. Please don't make me wait again. When will you say yes to me? Tell me quando, quando, quando you mean happiness to me. Oh, my love, please tell me when. Every moment's a day. Every day seems a lifetime. Let me show you the way to a joy beyond compare. Tell me quando, quando, quando. Say it's me that you adore. And then, darling, tell me when.
Welcome back. You're tuned into Book Choice, half publisher's choice, half regular book choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick, and the show is sponsored by our lovely friends at Exclusive Books. And we've come right to the end of the show. I've got two fantastic reviews for you. Well, I think they're fantastic. The first is by Vanessa Levenstein, who read A Library to Flee. Not only does Vanessa need our congratulations for reading this book, but she probably also needs some physiotherapy. I had this book and I read it and really enjoyed it, but it's very thick and it's very heavy, and it's a very deep and enjoyable read, but you need to be strong. Keep your core strong so that you can read this book and carry it around with you. What did you think of it, Vanessa Levenstein?
A Library to Flee by Etienne van Heerden weighs just under 800 grams. To be honest, I considered abandoning it a few times because of the length, but tired wrists notwithstanding, I persevered, and I'm glad I did. The story is set in South Africa and China at the time of Fees Must Fall. There's a large cast with two protagonists, Ian Brunt, an Afrikaans lawyer, and Thuli Khumalo, a Fees Must Fall activist. They meet in a postgraduate translation course at UCT. Campus is a volatile environment. There's a backlash against colonialism. And put a foot wrong, you're cancelled. Ian does more than put a foot wrong. He sends out a thoughtless, offensive tweet that topples his life. Die Bibliotheek aan die einde van die wereld was initially published in Afrikaans in 2019, and then translated into A Library to Flee by Henrietta Rose Innes, which won the 2023 UJ Prize for Translation. Really deserved, as the language is superb. The metaphorical value of translation is fascinating. How do we interpret each other's worlds? Is art a translator? Is there a space where Thuli and Ian can connect? Or will they remain lost in translation? Another student in the translation course is Jerome, who lives on the street and is battling to survive. The wolves of capitalism and student politics feed on him. Jerome's uncle is a struggle veteran living in dire poverty. He tries to create a context and to explain that issues aren't literally black or white. I read this morning that one of the paintings that was burnt was a depiction of Molly Blackburn. She was a great activist, you know. I was one of the marshals with a walkie-talkie at her funeral. You don't even know who you're burning. If you burn it, you burn the thought behind it. Thuli's father is a struggle icon. Thuli grew up in exile, is bright with strong principles. Yet her world comes crashing down when she discovers her father's suspect dealings with a corrupt friend. Think Jay-Z, think Cooptas. She's propelled to seek answers and justice, and so travels to China, where she experiences a surreal, dangerous climate of what could be the new colonialism and appropriation of our very beings, surveillance capital, a murky world that Ian Brunt is drowning in. The themes of freedom of speech and oppression and fake news play out. in Mao Tse-tung's China, you were imprisoned or killed for the slightest whiff of opposition. One would expect the polar opposite from universities. There should be places of dialogue and free thought. Yet sadly, and this is a global phenomenon, they have all too often become fascist in their dogma. The writer has clearly spent much time researching and travelling to get under the skin of both the people and places he writes about. There's a lot to unpack, which perhaps is why the book is 636 pages. However, for me, it was way too long. I didn't feel the length was justified. In fact, the many flashbacks and many characters could easily have been trimmed down, and we would have still got it. But not to throw the baby out or the book out with the proverbial bathwater. If you're looking for a chunky book to keep you company over the holidays, if South African historical fiction is what you're after and appreciate good writing, a creative narrative, fine research, and an excellent translation, A Library to Flee is a good book to flee to.
Thank you so much, Vanessa Levenstein, who was chatting about A Library to Flee by Etienne van Heerden. Etienne's a very well-known South African author. His books come out in Afrikaans and in English. And this one has also been a very anticipated novel. And finally, our very last review for today's show comes from Melvin Minar. And this takes us into a beautiful nature space. Melvin is talking about a book. It's called Grootbos. Let me see if I can get this right. It's called Grootbos Florilegium. And it's got illustrations and stories about flowers. Welcome to the show, Melvin Minar.
If you like flowers, you will want this book. If you love Cape Flora, you will buy this. If you admire the great grand art of botanical illustration, you will spend hours paging through this wonderful prestige publications. For me, this is somewhat personal because I grew up across the bay from what is now the Grootbos Private Nature Reserve. It's the very region where, as a youngster with keen local botanists, we went in search of the indigenous flowers that blossom only when the season allows them. Grootbos is a rare sanctuary for indigenous site-specific plants, some 900 at the last count by the estate's botanical staff. And it's also a most wonderful high-end getaway place where everything is focused on the vision of the founders, the Ludutreya family, to bring into focus the wonder of the unique ego-positioned natural environment and its conservation. The book is a floral celebration to all that, but it's also an ode to the great tradition of botanical illustration. A keen, long-time interest of mine as arts commentator, this is a very specific kind of art, anchored as it is both in the expressive and drawing skills of the artists, as well as the concept that such an illustration must scientifically, or as close as possible, document the plant's appearance and variations. It is science and art in harmony. Over time, more than 40 of the finest local botanical illustrators and some international counterparts have been invited to spend time at Grootbos, choosing plants and flowers and sometimes insects to paint. The result is captured in this book, as well as on the walls and a gallery at the Grootbos estate. Produced to grand and refined publishing standards in terms of print, paper, design and format, the book is indeed a treasure. No Kindle version can equal the handling experience of page after page. But for all its refined showiness and beautifully made drawings and paintings, it's also a well-researched and clear document of the natural environment from whence the art springs. The fun of tracing the curious Latinesque names of formal botany together with the common, and then field notes from some actual locations of Grootbos's flora, gives the big book, as you page through, a feeling of intimacy and discovery, like stepping into the natural wonderland. A special nod to all those involved must include a special note to Sean Privett, Grootbos's director of conservation, and the writer of the lovely readable texts, such as this. The plant is the shy night-scented Pelargonium, or Nachtmalva, official name Pelargonium triste. The drawing is by Mary Hahn. The text reads, and I quote, "It lies hidden underground in dormant state. Its large subterranean tuber awaits the onset of the cooler autumn temperatures and accompanying Cape rains. It is at this time that the soft, finely divided leaves begin to emerge. A few weeks later, the true magic unfolds. Star-like flowers perch at the end of long, hairy stalks open in the early evening, and as darkness descends, they emit a musky cinnamon scent into the night. Somehow one can imagine, looking at the beautiful photographs of the estate also included in the book, to step into that shabby moonlit night in autumn and picking up the seductive smell. Grootbos Florilegium, published by Quivertree, is a Pandora's box of beautiful pleasure. All income from sales go to conserve what is there and more.
Thank you so much, Melvin Minot. All of the books on today's show make fantastic gifts. So if you're making your list and checking it twice, if you've got your father-in-law and your mother-in-law to deal with, your mom, your dad, uncles, cousins, nieces and nephews, there is something for everyone. I think the Air Fryer Cookbook is a big win. Spud for anybody who's got a little bit of nostalgia. We all remember how big the Spud books were. That'll make an incredible gift. The Littlies in your life might enjoy the Trevor Noah, and also the young at heart. Older Littlies in your life might enjoy it. The more serious journos might enjoy the Matthew Sporza book. It's called A Witness to Power. Then we've got, for the very intelligent, we've got the Stephen Fry Odyssey, which is all about myths and legends. So there is plenty to recommend. So when you're looking to buy somebody a present, chocolates are no good, because then they've just got to do that whole New Year's resolution of losing weight. You do them a favor if you give them a book, especially if you give them Library to Flee, because that's two New Year's resolutions in one. They'll be lifting weights when they're reading the book too. So they'll thank you for that. You've been tuned into Book Choice, half publisher's choice, half regular book choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. I want to thank our friends at Pan Macmillan, at Penguin Random House South Africa, at Jonathan Ball Publishers, Vanessa Levenstein and Melvin Minar. Thank you for slotting in with us today and bringing us your great reviews as well. And thank you to our listeners for coming and listening in for an hour. I hope you've taken some notes and you've got some ideas of things that you want to buy and want to read. That's our Tuesday the 12th of November show. We're going to wrap it up with one more track. It's by Tatiana Thale and Dimitri Giannakis. It's called Ave Maria. And until we see you in 2 weeks' time, happy reading.